Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, October 26th, 2018. South Sudan changes the date for its peace party.
We want to come out with a fully prepared and highly organized celebrations. So because of this, for these practical and technical reasons, it is decided that the celebrations should be pushed for a day.
An activist called on President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar to show leadership.
We are dying every day. After the signing of the peace agreement, they said they should stop this fighting, this gun, but up to today, the gun is still going on. People are still being killed in Yei, in some other places.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government says it is postponing the October 30th peace celebration due to what the government is calling technical problems. Information Minister Michael Makuei told reporters in Juba the peace celebration will still be held next week. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Juba.
Information Minister Michael Makuei told reporters in Juba this evening that the celebration will now take place a day later on Wednesday next week at the same time, same place.
We want to come out with a fully prepared and highly organized celebrations. So because of this for these practical and technical reasons, it is decided that the celebrations should be pushed for a day.
South Sudan's government and various opposition groups signed a revitalized peace agreement early last month in Khartoum. Leaders from African Union, IGAD head of states, UN and other international bodies are expected to attend the event on October 31st. Early this week, South Sudan's rebel leader Riek Machar said he would attend the peace celebration in Juba. Later, Machar's chairperson for foreign relations, Stephen Pal, told South Sudan in Focus that Machar would not attend the peace party because President Kiir has not fulfilled some of the agreements in the peace deal, like releasing all political prisoners. Makuei also mentioned that President Kiir and other regional leaders have been invited to other events on Tuesday, the original date for the celebration.
In fact, there is very serious interruption, contradiction between our occasion and the celebrations of the independence of Turkey, and there is a European Union meeting in which they have invited almost all the African leaders.
Makuei ordered journalists to inform the public about the change of the date of the peace party.
We will direct all the media houses, we will direct the SSTV, which is organizing it, and it will have to change the 30 to add one to make 31.
The government says it is spending $3 million on the peace celebrations. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
The head of UN Women is sounding the alarm bell about women's participation in peace efforts. As indicators show, there has been no women actively involved in the search for peace around the world. Ayen Bior Deng reports for VOA from Washington.
Phumzile Mlambo Nkunka, executive director of UN Women, addressed the UN Security Council in New York yesterday and shared with members the fears and frustrations of the women she met across South Sudan.
The women we met there told us that they long for peace and to resume their lives. They are nearly 5 years of suffering from a civil war that they kept on repeating they were not responsible for were waging was taking a toll on them. And they said, "We are here because we want to reconcile, even though we have never quarreled.
The top UN official spoke to South Sudanese women who say their fears are growing as the quota to get more women actively involved in South Sudan's peace process has not been met.
In these early days of the revitalized agreement, in the National Pre-Transitional Committee, there's just one woman amongst 10 persons nominated to be members of the committee, which is not the agreed 35%.
The top UN women chief says the treatment of women in South Sudan is similar to what's going on in other countries affected by conflict.
The trend is Women are being excluded from the peace processes. The ones who do not wage war seem to be disqualified from making the peace, while those who may be implicated in making the war tend to find it easy to be at the peace table.
Mlambo Nka's message to the Security Council was short but clear.
We need you to be vigilant about the ending of superficial efforts to include women that do not genuinely extend the opportunity to influence outcome.
She says the UN needs to use all available diplomatic resources to make sure a world of gender equality and equal representation of women exist in all sectors of society. Ayen Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
Still on women issues, women activists in South Sudan are calling on President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar to put aside their political differences when they meet next week. The activists say continued fighting between government forces and rebels across Western Bahr al-Ghazal region and Yei River State is complicating peace-building measures aimed at ending the violence in South Sudan. Walter Onan Solomon has more for VOA from Juba.
The activists say continuous fighting between government forces and the rebels in towns and villages of Western Bahr al-Ghazal region and Yei River State is sending a negative message to South Sudanese. The women leaders say they are disappointed by pronouncement from the government and the rebels who are busy blaming each other for violating the ceasefire. Lydia Goron is an activist with the Jubek State Women Union. She says she does not understand why there is fighting in Wau and Yei River State.
What is the use of signing this agreement? If they really agreed that they wanted to serve our people in this country, we are dying every day. After the signing of the peace agreement, they said they should stop this fighting, this gun, but up to today, the gun is still going on. People are still being killed in Yei, in some other places.
Betty Sunday is the coordinator for Women's Monthly Forum in Juba. She says if Riek fails to attend peace celebrations scheduled for October 30th, the future of the peace deal is bleak.
That could be another problem if Riek Machar does not come. As an activist, what is this plan B for us? And I hope that the time they were in Sudan, since the committee which was formed, they have come to Juba. And that is the stage of building the trust between the different warring parties. And since they have signed the agreement, and since he has said, he has to fulfill it.
Goron says she will believe that there is peace only if she sees President Kiir and Riek greeting each other in Juba.
Until we see with our eyes that both of them are here greeting themselves, and then we celebrate, we dance, we do everything, then we really believe that the agreement is already in their hands or in our hands in South Sudan. But for now, after today, we don't believe. We see them through the phones, through the media, but practically, I don't know whether it is true.
Another woman activist who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retaliation says the government and the oppositions should listen to the pleas for peace from South Sudanese.
They understand things upside down. So they don't really want to understand the facts. And when you're telling them the truth, instead they are turning it to be something else. They tell themselves that they are security agents and all that and all that. We are just sharing our lives as well. We know what has been happening in South Sudan. They are killing innocent people for nothing.
Goron says the continuous fighting across South Sudan is causing more sufferings to families caught up in the battlegrounds.
If they sign the agreement, what next? They should come together and then they come to the country. Let them stop the sound of guns in all parts of South Sudan. We are their mothers. We are their wives. No. Many, many widows, orphans. They don't have anybody to assist them. Schools, what? We really suffered in this country.
The government and rebels of the SPLM-IO continue to blame each other for fighting in Wau and Yei River State. South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify reports of fighting in Wau and Yei River State. The Ceasefire and Transitional Security Arrangements Monitoring Mechanism, CITISAM, a body formed by IGAD to monitoring ceasefire violations, has not issued any statement on the latest reports of fighting. For VOA News, I am Monan Walter Solomon in Juba.
Some residents of Yei River State are accusing both government and rebel forces of beating looting property and raping women. The residents claim that members of both Army and SPLM-IO have harassed them and restricted their movements. Daniel Martin Friday has the story for VOA from Yei Town.
A resident of Yei Town who identifies himself only as Sebit for fear of reprisals from government or rebel fighters claims he and others were ambushed by a group of men in military uniform in Mugo Payam earlier this week. Speaking in Arabic, Sebit says the armed men stole his few belongings.
We are coming from the village and we meet armed men on the road. They took away my business commodities like cassava flour, including my basco. We were not moving freely on the road. I was threatened and beaten. Sometimes they also raped women.
Sebit is calling on the government and SPLA-IO rebels to provide security on major roads across Yei River State. He is also urging top leaders to order their forces from harassing civilians and allow freedom of movement. Another civilian who asked to be identified only as Edna says she and other women were harassed and detained for several hours by armed men along the Yei Aba Road. Speaking in Kakwa, Edna says the gunmen took their valuables, including money.
Even new clothes, chicken, and cash were taken away by the armed men. They ambushed us on the road and ordered us to move into the bush and detain us for many hours. They told us not to tell any soldier we met on the road that we have been robbed, and after robbing us, they will let us go to the town or back to the village late at night.
Major General Lu Rai Kwang, spokesman for the South Sudan's People's Defense Forces, formerly known as the SPLA, says his office is unaware of any atrocities being committed by government forces in Yei. He says the government is working to improve security by collecting guns from military personnel not on duty. He says the army is also working on improving its image by creating a safe environment and building trust between civilians and the army.
We shall make sure that guns are kept in stores. Those who are not on duty, they would be required to move in civilian clothes. So these orders are going to be implemented and enforced when there is relative peace within and outside of the area. We need to be more friendly to the local population. And the only way to achieve that is ensuring training of our forces so that they have a positive attitude towards our population, not use hostile language.
SPLA-IO Deputy Military Spokesman Lampol Gabriel claims his forces have been protecting civilians in rebel-controlled areas.
The most important thing is allowing civilians access to any kind of thing that they want, as long as they are being protected, as long as they are not being harassed. That is what we want. As far as we are concerned, we are going to abide by that, but we are looking toward complete disarmament. When things are on the right track, we will disarm, and we will make sure we move civilians when we are among civilians. Secondly, we are also beginning to train our soldiers in such a way that they are able now to talk to civilians.
Sebit says both the government, army, and SPLA-IO fighters continue to harass civilians. He's calling on the country's authorities to hold the perpetrators of human rights abuses accountable. Sebit says there's a reason Yei River State residents don't trust men in military uniform.
When we meet with military men on the road, we feel frightened because we thought they will shoot at us. We as civilians are calling on the government to look into this issue and not to allow soldiers to move with guns amidst the civil population. We want the government to carry out disarmament so that we enjoy our freedom.
Kwang says the South Sudan's People's Defense Forces are committed to respecting the rights of civilians and that any soldier caught mistreating civilians will be arrested and punished in a court-martial.
We will ensure this happens by telling our forces the need for us to live side by side with our local population, by ensuring that violators of peaceful coexistence are held accountable and punished. Freedom of movement was allowed. In Yei River State, as we speak, we have established contacts with the SPLA-IO military leadership. Our hostilities are going to cease, and we are going to work as partners in peace.
Lam admits some of his forces have committed crimes against civilians in SPLA-IO-controlled areas. He urged civilians to report such crimes to army commanders.
we are going to respect ourselves, and we'll make sure that we will respect each other. So that peace is implemented, because the government and the CIO that have signed this peace agreement, we are going to work hand in hand. We are going to work hard to make sure we silence them and to give them their freedom and the freedom that they want as civilians. That is one. Two, they need also to understand that, you know, our soldiers are not angels. But there are times when some of them will, one way or the other, slip. And whenever a soldier happens to do something wrong, you identify the soldier and report the soldier accordingly, and he will be then brought to book.
According to Chapter 2 of the Revitalized Peace Agreement, the warring parties in South Sudan should respect and protect all civilians and their property. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yatown.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, civilians say harassment is the order of the day in both government-controlled areas and rebels. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what does it mean to be a gentleman in your culture?
In our culture, to be a gentleman, it means that this is the stage whereby you are initiated into a group, age set or age group in our culture, whereby you are growing from your childhood to the adulthood. Therefore, you can be recognized in your community or culture.
It means that you have to treat ladies with a lot of care and make sure that you don't behave aggressively.
It means someone who is well-behaved, speak politely, and is very hard-working.
A gentleman is someone who cares for anybody that comes around. Speak to the person politely.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The World Health Organization's Regional Director for Africa is praising South Sudan for improving its maternal and child health care despite the nearly 5 years of conflict across the country. WHO says the government has had huge gains in reducing maternal mortality. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
The WHO's Dr. Marsidisho Moyeti says, although challenges still remain, South Sudan has significantly reduced maternal mortality across the country. Moyeti did not identify the exact areas where maternal health care has improved, but she told journalists in Juba this week that peace and stability in South Sudan would help health workers address the challenges facing pregnant women.
There's been a huge amount of progress made in putting the infrastructure in place, increasing the human resources, and as I said, actually improving the health in terms of some of the key indicators here in South Sudan, including reducing maternal mortality, which started off at a very high rate. Secondly, I think that the implementation of the peace agreement is very important for the further progress to be made. So hopefully all the parties concerned are very aware of that. This is what I have been assured with.
In 2011, South Sudan was ranked as one of the countries among the highest maternal mortality rate in the world. The country registered 2,054 infant deaths out of 100,000 births. That figure has dropped to 789 deaths in 100,000 births in 2018. Repent Kamis George is the national chairperson of the South Sudan Nurses and Midwifery Association, a body formed in 2010 to improve maternal and neonatal health across South Sudan. Khamis says traditional birth attendants are still handling maternal health issues in most remote parts of South Sudan. He says the number of healthcare workers should be doubled across South Sudan.
One of the factor is the training of the mid-level health cadre, and particularly the training of midwives and nurses. that could have been one of the factors, because what was realized earlier is that the skilled birth attendants were not enough. They were very few. That's why the government, in particular the Ministry of Health, with its partners, established a number of training institutions, specifically training nurses and midwives in this country.
South Sudan has trained some 600 nurses and midwives across South Sudan, according to KAMIS. Juba Teaching Hospital, the Meridi Health Institute, the Catholic Health Institute, and the Meri Health Institute in Wau are some of the primary training institutions in the country. But KAMIS says these institutions are not enough to serve South Sudan's population of 11 million.
One of the strategies could be still training, opening more schools to train more numbers, because the health science institutions currently training nurses and midwives are not covering the whole country. You know, they're only in the specific places like Juba, Wau, Meridi, and so it's not covering the whole country.
After visiting some of the healthy facilities in Wau and Juba Teaching Hospitals, Moyeti donated 4 ambulances and $50,000 to the Ministry of Health to help address the challenges facing South Sudan's healthcare system. Only 2.5% of South Sudan's budget of 81 billion South Sudanese pounds is allocated to the Ministry of Health this year. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Zimbabwe, where businesses increasingly want payments to be made in US dollars as an economic meltdown grows worst. The government has printed its own currency called bond notes for the past 2 years, but the bond notes are quickly losing the confidence of the public. Columbus Mavunga reports for VOA from Harare.
Dr. Ahmed Bilal Shah operates a medical center in one of Harare's poorest suburbs. He needs money to keep going, but cash is hard to find.
Let me face the realities of the ground. I'm accepting transfer or bond notes. But the thing is, I have to make some solution of that to buy some US dollar, to buy some medicine to replace my stock. If I will not replace my stock after within a 1 month time, I had to close my surgery. My pharmacy does not accept even card or anything. Neither they are accepting any of bond notes or but they are asking for the US dollar. Now they have their own problems. So this is a question where we are stuck up.
Zimbabwe abandoned its own dollar in 2009 after years of hyperinflation. Since then, the country has been without an official currency and relied on US dollars, the British pound, and South African rand to conduct transactions. In the past 3 years, however, all the three currencies have been hard to find, paralyzing the economy and forcing the country to rely on bond notes. Shah says if he cannot get US dollars from his patients who have them, he has to turn to the black market. But that presents problems too. Over the past few days, police have arrested nearly 200 black market currency dealers as the government tries to shut down their thriving but illegal business. But on the black market, a dollar is now worth more than 3 bond notes. Gift Mugano, an independent economist, says Zimbabwe's economy will get worse unless the government of President Emmerson Mnangagwa takes action.
The only thing to do, in my view, is to demonetize the bond note. I was one person who was against the bond note from the word go, and I was very clear. This bond note will depreciate and will create havoc. The impact of the bond note is beyond the size of how much bond note we have. It's about perceptions. You take away confidence. You know, we need to go back to full dollarization. where we have US dollar alone in our system, you then attract investors because they have certainty in your currency.
Zimbabwe has struggled to attract investors for nearly 20 years after a steep decline in the economy sparked by the policies of former President Robert Mugabe. President Mnangagwa, who took office after Mugabe resigned under military pressure a year ago, has promised improvements. But so far, Zimbabwe remains stuck in crisis and is facing shortages of not only medicine, but nearly all essential goods. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The South Sudan government says it is delaying the October 30th peace celebration due to technical problems. Information Minister Michael McQuay told reporters today the celebration will happen the next day, Wednesday. He also said President Kiir and other regional leaders are attending another event on Tuesday. The government and opposition party signed a revised peace deal last month in Khartoum. Leaders from the African Union, IGAD heads of state, UN and other international bodies are slated to be at the October 31st event. Earlier this week, rebel leader Riek Machar said he would attend the celebration. Later, SPLA-IO official Stephen Parr told this program that Machar would not attend because President Kiir has not fulfilled some of the agreements in the peace deal, like releasing all political prisoners. The UN head of women is sounding the alarm as indicators show not many women are taking part in peace efforts. The official says countries must prioritize the inclusion of women, particularly in conflict zones like South Sudan. And finally, the World Health Organization's regional director for Africa is praising South Sudan for improving its maternal and neonatal health care despite the nearly 5 years of conflict across the country. Dr. Machido Moete says the government has made huge gains in reducing maternal mortality. I'm Carol Van Dam, and that's a look at some of our top stories.
That's our show for this Friday, when I'll leave you with the song Shourat Mayo by John Kuduse.
Pon me ara kuljiro sore mayo ya shabab ogandiro kulji chab me da kuljan dan sora leku kai de jotare tanje pori al mule ladier kwanes biale ogandiro kulji chab me da kuljan dan sora leku kai de jotare dugu man kui be guaman wake jam gejeni where bulwel gale dan rot wajat diga kai terban. Yen men jiran man wet ibang unang wit bang bajamat fi kong rel loy baya bang pian do do ko bang loy be chelo ye kwaran dier ge jol bang je tue o ge pon yar kul diro sore mayo ya shaba o ga dier kul ji chamet a kul yan dan sora le ko kai dir jo tar tan je por yal mule na dier kwan es bele o ga dier kul ji chamet a kul yan dan sora ko kai dir jo tar tan je por yal mule la dier kwan es bele o ga dier kul ji chamet a kul yan dan sora le ko kai dir jo tar du gi man ku bu kwa man wa ke jam ke chingi.
We have been listening to John Kuduse with the song Sourat Mayo. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Let's know what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. Have a peaceful weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Dugi man kui be kwa man wake jam ge chenge where bul el gele tan ron waja diga kai ter ban kuyen man chiran man we di ban nang wis ban ba jam ma ke kong re lo ba ya ban chan do go ban lo be chelo ye kwa ran jer ge chal ban.
where we are men.